reporting like this, a feature several minutes long on the people who are seeking our votes in the Republican primary for lieutenant governor. Tomorrow we'll take a look at the candidates in the Democratic primary for lieutenant governor. So if this kind of reporting is important to you, we hope you will support it with a financial contribution. We come to you and ask you for your support a couple of times a year. This is one of those times. What we want to do is stay on track for our overall goal, and this drive helps us accomplish that. So do get to the phone this afternoon or go online to willpledge.org and make a pledge of financial support. The number 217-244-9455, 244-WILL, or online at willpledge.org. Suggestions for contributions, Mark?
Oh, we have all sorts of suggestions. We have suggested levels of membership, but it always comes down to how much enjoyment WILL brings to you and what you can afford. And we will never ask you to give more than you can afford, but we also encourage you to perhaps not give less than you can afford. If you're in a position to give us a leadership-level gift, boy, we would love to hear from you today. If what all you can afford is a basic membership, that's fine also. The main thing is that you are participating in public media, and you hear a lot about the changing face of journalism, changing face of media. Well, the one constant, thanks to your continued support, has been quality public media in this community. We're looking to keep that strong in the coming year, and we can with your help at 244-9455.
And now we'll return to the regular features of the Afternoon Magazine. Mark, it's been good to be with you this
Thank
afternoon.
Thank you, Celeste.
Thank you. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Let's turn our attention now to what's happening on Wall Street. The Dow is currently off 57 points at 10,179. The NASDAQ off 30 at 2,192. The S&P 500 off 6 points at 1,092. There's evidence that the economic rebound remains sluggish. The number of people claiming jobless aid fell last week, but less than expected. Orders for big-ticket manufactured goods rose, but also fell short of analysts' predictions. And a key moderate Democrat says President Barack Obama's sweeping health care overhaul is on, quote, life support, but it still has a pulse. Senator Mary Landrieu says if there's a way to push it forward, there are senators committed to finding it. During last night's State of the Union address, Obama urged Congress to finish the job on health care reform.
What beer does to your brain on this moment of science. Most everyone knows that alcohol impairs mental and physiological functions, but what actually goes on at the cellular level when you drink a beer? Alcohol interferes with the normal function of your brain cells. Under normal circumstances, each of your brain cells allows various substances, such as sodium, calcium, and potassium, to permeate its outer cell membrane. Once inside the brain cell, these substances help give the cell stimulus it needs to function properly. Then, they leave the cell and allow another set of these substances to begin the cycle again. The millions of cells that make up your brain are continually allowing these substances to penetrate their membranes and then expelling these same substances later. All of this action allows the brain to interpret and transport messages. Alcohol consumption prevents sodium from being able to cross brain cell membranes. Once even this part of the cycle breaks down, brain functions become impaired. You can notice the effects of this breakdown after a single drink. Even if you've had just one drink, your ability to respond to stimulus decreases and your reaction time slows down. If you're driving, you might see a car stop and know that you need to slam on the brakes, but the pathway in your brain that processes this information and causes you to respond to it will be working in slow motion. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amomentofscience.org, where you can also view videos and sign up for podcasts. For A Moment of Science, I'm Yael Cassander.
In sports, the Illini men snapped a three-game losing streak last night, beating Penn State 77-67 on the road. In Big Ten top 25 college football action, excuse me, football basketball action tonight. Number 16, Wisconsin, is at number 10, Purdue. In women's action, Minnesota is at Ohio State and Purdue is at Penn State. And tonight, the Illini women host Michigan. Tip-off for that game at Assembly Hall, 7 p.m. The Chicago Blackhawks have an important game tonight in San Jose. The Sharks have a 2-point lead over the Blackhawks at the top of the NHL Western Conference standings. This is the final regular season meeting between the two teams. And the Blues visit the last-place Edmonton Oilers tonight. Last night's loss at Vancouver was the third in four games for the Blues. The Oilers, meanwhile, are on an 11-game slide and have just one victory in their last 19 games. That's sports.
Programs on WILL are made possible with support from Sinfonia de Camera, presenting Spring Enchantment on Saturday, February 6th at 7:30 p.m. in the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. The symphony celebrates spring with works by Mozart, Handel, and Schumann. More information is available at 333-6280.
It's 2:46. One issue looms over any other facing the state of Illinois, its finances. Illinois' deficit is expected to reach $13 billion by May. That's about half the entire state's operating budget. Yesterday, we examined the Democratic gubernatorial candidates' plans for dealing with the deficit. While Governor Pat Quinn and Comptroller Dan Hines are debating whose tax increase proposal is best, Republicans are fighting over how they'll solve the budget problem without one. Amanda Vinicky has this story on how the GOP candidates for governor would deal with the state's fiscal situation.
Republicans see this election as their chance to reclaim leadership in Illinois. The corruption scandal that brought down former Democratic Governor Rod Blagojevich is still fresh in voters' minds. The economy's shaky, and the state's bank account has a record negative balance. Bloomington Senator Bill Brady, who's also a real estate developer, says Democrats have done such a number on the budget that the state needs to start from scratch.
Unfortunately, we've dug such a deep hole that we've got to deconstruct and reconstruct a budget that works, using zero-based budgeting principles like I use in my business.
Brady promises to eliminate the deficit his first year in office, beginning with a minimum 10% cut across the board for all of state government. He also says he'll abolish the State Board of Education. Brady is one of the four GOP candidates who says he can do it all with the guarantee he won't raise taxes. That's also the stance of Hinsdale businessman Andrew Angievsky, conservative commentator and publicist Dan Proft, and former GOP chairman Andy McKenna, who has used his personal fortune to plaster that message across the airwaves and campaign ads. McKenna says in this difficult time, even traditionally sacred causes like education may need to be cut.
What we're cutting is the spending of money we don't have.
McKenna says he'll create a panel to help identify areas of waste. He says he'll reduce the debt by rolling back state spending to 2006 levels and reversing programs that allowed more people to qualify for state-backed health insurance. That was one of the many cuts Proft listed during a debate in Springfield that elicited cheers from the crowd.
All kids, which covers every child in this state, regardless of household income, that should be means tested back to 200% of poverty level, which is where Medicaid was intended to serve. That's another $1.3 to $1.5 billion, and I'm just getting warmed up, but I'm out of time.
Proft also says Illinois' plans for high-speed rail going from Chicago to St. Louis is like a Simpsons cartoon. He says Illinois doesn't have the $400 million, especially to spend on a train he argues travels barely faster than Amtrak. He also calls for the possible sale of the state lottery and cutting in half the budget of the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. That's an agency Angievsky wants to do away with completely. He also wants to eliminate $10 billion of grants. He points out museums and zoos as unjustifiable uses of taxpayer money.
Most people agree that 5% of state spending is abject waste, fraud, corruption, and abuse. I'll root that out.
That leaves two candidates, both of whom are from DuPage County and are considered moderates. Like the rest of the field, both former State Attorney General Jim Ryan and State Senator Kirk Dillard say they have no plans to raise taxes, but they've refused to sign a pledge to that effect, calling it a gimmick. That's brought them kudos from experts who say a tax hike is the only way out of the budget mess, but they're also taking grief from their opponents. Dillard pushes it off, saying being governor is not a job for beginners. He says he's helped lead Illinois out of a fiscal mess before as former Governor Jim Edgar's chief of staff.
Not only did we balance the state budget and pay our bills in 17 days, We also left $1.5 billion surplus in the state treasury, all without an income tax, while we faced a recession.
Dillard says he'll comb through all state expenses line by line, and he'll require state agencies to justify all expenses. Some of the plans Ryan has put forth may sound familiar, like a constitutional cap on spending increases. Ryan lost the governor's race in 2002 to Blagojevich and says since then, Illinois went on a spending binge that he would have never allowed.
We have gotten so used to doing this, to kicking the can down the alley to get to the next election. I am not going to do that.
Ryan proposes giving a $5,000 bonus to any state worker who identifies major ways to save government money. He also says he'd contemplate leasing or selling off the state tollway system. Nearly all Republican candidates favor reducing retirement benefits for new state employees and lowering costs for businesses. It wasn't long ago that Republicans had a lock on state government's top job, and while Illinois' budget is a daunting problem to solve, it could also become a key to the party's return to power. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
A dozen Democrats and Republicans want a state office that has only a few duties. After Pat Quinn rose from lieutenant governor to the top of state government, his old role is receiving a lot more attention from candidates. In the first of a two-part series, Illinois Public Radio's Whitney Jones looks at the Democrats vying for the job and how they would handle the state's most pressing problem, the budget.
Of the six Democrats running for lieutenant governor, all favor cutting waste from government, and most say they would support raising taxes to help dig Illinois out of the current financial mess. Some predict a deficit as high as $13 billion. Four of the candidates are veterans of the state legislature and have had to face the tax issue previously. Chicago Representative Art Turner has been a lawmaker for nearly 30 years. He says that experience makes him right for the job. Turner is in favor of a progressive tax like gubernatorial candidate Dan Hines, in which those who earn more pay more. But he adds that he wants to bring in all the players to discuss every option to fix the state's fiscal problems.
In the meantime, making certain that our public understands that we're not going to be able to raise enough money in one session or two sessions to completely eradicate our debt. This is going to be a slow recovery. Nobody likes that word slow. It's not going to happen overnight.
Turner says a new revenue stream is what the state needs to get back up on its feet. He supports an income tax increase and property tax swap package. Representative Mike Boland of East Moline is also a longtime House lawmaker. He says raising taxes should be a last resort. Instead, Boland wants to bring in more casinos to give revenues a boost.
Beyond that, if we still need revenue, then we should look at some luxury services, country club membership, some things like that that we could look at putting a tax on.
Senator Terry Link of Waukegan proposes streamlining city, county, and state government to save money.
We have the highest amount of units of government in the United States and by one state, and we need to look at consolidations or elimination of a lot of these units of government, because this is putting a high burden on the taxpayers in the state.
Link also supports an income tax increase. He voted in favor of a measure raising income taxes last April. That measure went nowhere. Also running is Scott Lee Cohen, a Chicago businessman. The political neophyte says he wants to use the post as a bully pulpit to fix the state's problems.
We all know that the legislators and the governor wants to do it. They just need somebody that has the business experience to say, this is what we need, and this is how we do it.
Cohen is in favor of a progressive tax system. He says it's the fairest way to tax. Senator Ricky Hendon is known for flamboyant attire and his outspoken nature. Most recently, Hendon charged that House Speaker and State Democratic Chairman Mike Madigan was conspiring against the governor by holding off on a vote on an income tax hike, a measure he supported.
Well, I intend to work with the governor, of course, to do what we need to do to cut what we can, but I also believe we do need to be serious about revenue enhancements, which would include a income tax increase on those who can afford to pay.
Hendon says he wants the progressive tax. Elmhurst electrical worker Thomas Castillo is a newcomer to state politics, but he says his working man experience is what state government needs. He says those who want only to cut spending don't understand the magnitude of the problem.
Normally, I'm against raising taxes, and I understand this is a sore issue, But unfortunately, we have no choice but to raise taxes. We cannot cut our way out of this.
The winner of the Democratic primary would be teamed up with the winning gubernatorial candidate for the general election in November. The lieutenant governor remains a low-profile office. It's been vacant since Pat Quinn was elevated to governor a year ago. When it's filled, the office holder serves as chairman of the governor's Rural Affairs Council, chairman of the Rural Bond Bank of Illinois, and head of the Illinois Main Street Program. The governor or legislature could give it other assignments as well. The primary election is on February 2nd. I'm Whitney Jones.
Tomorrow we'll have the second part of this series, a story on the Republican lieutenant governor race.
I'm Mara Liasson from NPR News. You know when it's time to listen to WILL, when you want to broaden your understanding of national issues and international events, when you're interested in getting the most accurate, balanced coverage of the upcoming election season. You know when it's time to listen. Now it's time to give. Please make your pledge of support right now online at WILLpledge.org or by calling 217-244-9455.
We hope you will take a moment today and do something for yourself and your community. Support our public radio information connection. It's a gift with benefits for you and everyone in the community. And there's an added community benefit when you make a pledge of support to WILL right now. Common Ground Food Co-op has graciously agreed to contribute the cost of three meals to Eastern Illinois Food Bank. Support WILL and help fight hunger. Call now to take part. The number to call, 244-9455, online at willpledge.org. Basic membership is $40.
Earth and Sky.
Graham Stevens is principal investigator of NASA's CloudSat mission, a satellite designed to investigate how clouds affect Earth's water cycle, that is, the movement of water on, in, and above the Earth.
Now I really begin to understand the water cycle of our planet at a level that's important to make predictions about how this water cycle might change.
CloudSat is equipped with radar that is 1,000 times more sensitive than weather radar. CloudSat's radar can detect the tiny particles of liquid water and ice that make up clouds. It orbits the Earth along with NASA's Aqua satellite, and their data is often combined to make unique and important observations, said Stevens.
We can actually use the observations from CloudSat to basically weigh the clouds and work out how much water is in the clouds.
Stevens said that scientists want to know how much water is suspended in the atmosphere and how it converts into rainfall. He said that's vital in predicting how global warming might alter future precipitation.
We find, for example, that the conversion of cloud water to rainwater is much slower than we expected, and much slower than is predicted in climate models.
Stevens said that these findings could reshape the way climate models are created. Our thanks today